Now, here's your host, Mark Moses.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number two. All right, so we had this guy on 2 days ago to recap the college football season as, yes, Michigan won the title. I did not expect him coming back today, but that's not the world we live in because Nick Saban is retiring from Alabama. This guy's covered the SEC for a long time. He's my good friend, Johnny Ballpark Franks. And, yes, he knows a lot about Alabama football, and he's met Nick Saban multiple times. Johnny, how you doing today?
You know, that line reminds me of the line from the movie Draft Day. That is not the world we're living in today. I'm doing well. And by the way, I'm going to say something that I know your listeners already know, but how fortunate they are to have you bringing Sports Daily there to the Space Coast. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not surprised with the news yesterday. You know, in fact, we were thinking this could have been a John Elway moment. Alabama beats Michigan, wins against either Washington or Texas, and he runs off to the sunset. The ironic part is Nick Saban, up until an hour before he met with his team yesterday afternoon, he was on the phone trying to fill a vacancy as far as with the wide receivers coaching position. But I'm not really surprised that we get this news. I mean, he gets to work by 7:20 every morning. We're talking about 14-hour days. Look, I at the age of 39, when I was putting in 75, 80-hour work weeks from August 1st to 1st of April, it wore on me. I can't imagine what that would be like at the age of 72.
When you think of Nick Saban and Alabama football, what do you think about?
I think he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I'm not sure if he's the greatest coach in Alabama history. But he certainly, I know, here's the thing. If you're not 60 or older, and I'll give you a pass saying 55, but really realistically, if you're not 60 years of age or older, then I'm not going to say your opinion doesn't matter, but you don't have enough knowledge with your opinion to decide if Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. And I bring it up because if you look at the era that we have with now with the 4-team playoff, now we're getting ready to add the 12-team, but just with the 4-team playoff, we look at the missed opportunities for Bear Bryant from 71 to 81, where his team would have been in the playoffs 9 of the 11 years. That's not even taking in consideration the success that he had from 61 to 67 at Alabama. We look at Bobby Bowden and the years from late 70s, early 80s. Then we had that stretch of 14 straight years of top five finishes from 87 to 2000, where during that 14-year run from 87 to 2000, Florida State would have been a playoff team 9 of those seasons. And Bobby Bowden, before he passed away, we talked about it often, and he said he would give the 2 national titles back just like that to be able to play for 9. But, I mean, it's historic what he was able to do to turn around LSU. Obviously, the run that he had at Alabama is just remarkable in this day and age with football. But I think the changing landscape, although he will not say it, I do believe the changing landscape of football, the name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, the fact that you're not only recruiting new players to come to your football program and to your campus, you're constantly having to recruit and maintain the current players on your roster. And at some points, especially if you've been coaching for a long time like Nick Saban has, it gets to the point like, enough's enough. I've won enough. I've made enough money. I can still have an impact and still enjoy the last years of my life.
I agree with you. Look, I think Nick Saban's awesome. And I'm fortunate that I got to say hello to him in person and see him coach Alabama at the, you know, beating up the Gators. But that's another story. I think of that book and movie, No Country for Old Men, the analogy. That's what I think about. Because it's like you're
thinking
right.
The Tommy Lee Jones character. Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Exactly. Where it's like you had a long run. You're great at what you do. But now there's this new world we're in. And, you know, like you said, all right, I've had enough. This isn't for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this transfer portal, you and me just talked about this on Tuesday. This is the Wild West. And Saban's in his 70s. He's like, whatever. He's got nothing left to prove. He's the greatest in my lifetime. He is.
And people want his only knock is his lack of success as a head coach in the NFL. And I will just go back. If Drew Brees had cleared the physical to be able to be taken by the Dolphins, we probably are not talking about Nick Saban at Alabama, because Miami would have had success. Nick Saban, what we would be talking about is Nick Saban, one of the greatest head coaches of all time in the NFL. We also wouldn't be talking about Nick Saban. This is where I love these individuals I've had a chance to be around. Mal Moore, player at Alabama, coach at Alabama, coordinator at Alabama, athletics director at Alabama. Mal Moore would not take no from Nick Saban. Nick Saban turned down the Alabama job. What did Mal Moore do? He didn't look at his next second or third or fourth candidate. He flew down uninvited to South Florida. He gets Miss Terry, Nick Saban's wife, on the phone. He shows up at the door, gets invited in. And as Nick Saban is coming home from practice, Terry Saban tells Nick, oh, by the way, Mal Moore's in the living room. And it was because of that persistence that Nick Saban ends up at Alabama. And here's a Mal Moore individual who was a part of 10 national championships at Alabama, from, once again, a player, from coach to athletics director, before passing away in 2013. And then if you want to add the extra three because of the fact that Saban won three more after his death, then you can literally say Mal Moore, the key person in all this conversation of merging the legacies of Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. 13 of Alabama's 18 national championships, Mal Moore directly had an impact on.
We're here with Johnny Ballpark Franks. He does a great job covering college football and especially the SEC. I brought up this point last hour, and I want your take. Nick Saban's impact at Alabama is one thing, but I think his impact on the SEC, when he won that first title, what was it, 09-10, like wins the first one, and then goes on the run, I think he took the SEC to the next level where they became the best conference in college football. Do you feel that way?
Well, I take it even before that. Remember, before he took the job with the Miami Dolphins, he was the head coach at LSU.
Yeah.
If you remember the 90s in LSU, they were a very bad football program. Yeah. So within 4 years, he wins a national title with LSU. And remember, that was the first of so many national championships for the SEC, because 2006, it was Florida. 2007, it was LSU. Yeah. 2008, it was Florida. Then Bama in 9, Auburn in 10, Alabama in 11 and 12. Auburn played for the national title in 2013. I mean, you see the point I'm making.
Yeah.
So I think Nick Saban's impact on college football in the SEC began even before he arrived on the campus in Tuscaloosa.
How did he keep doing it with coordinators constantly leaving? How? I just don't understand. I don't get
it. It's really easy. I mean, if he's not the easiest guy to work with. He takes away from family time, obviously, because of the hours that he demands of his assistant coaches, and that's why you saw a lot of turnover over the years. Bobby Bowden always told me when he being a Florida State grad, I had a chance to, cover him when he was coach at Florida State and become friends with him later in his life. He talked about the importance of not only being able to recruit players to your campus, but also being able to recruit and retain coaches on your staff. And he always was able to do an amazing job of pulling that off. I think the biggest thing about, Nick Saban, I got Nick Saban to laugh once. A handful of times he was on my show, and the last time I had him on my show, I got him to laugh because I asked him, what would Nick Saban today, what advice would he give Nick Saban, first-year head coach at Toledo in 1990? And he starts laughing, and he says, run the spread. Remember, he was winning with defense in 11 and 12. There's a reason why Alabama quarterbacks with Greg McElroy, with A.J. McCarron at that point were considered game managers.
Yeah.
It wasn't until he saw the landscape, the changing landscape in college football, and that was the reasons. When Lane Kiffin was on campus, he wasn't brought in to bring in that new aspect of the offense. They knew they had to make adjustments, and that's why then they had the conversations to start implementing the spread offense. because they knew that's where the was the direction of the college football world.
You think from recruiting the quarterback room, and we've talked about this before. When you had Tua, Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, the third guy, then they all get replaced by Bryce Young. I don't think you're going to be able to top that. That's four straight starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, you go there, look at the running back room. Look at the wide receiver room. Look at the defensive back room. Look at the linebacker room. Look at the offensive lineman room. Look at the defensive lineman room. I mean, there's a reason why Alabama's had more first-round draft picks, more players playing in the NFL. 16 players are we're talking about leaders of these teams. Alabama was the only team to have four former players to get over 1,000 yards in receiving yards this year. Najee Harris, the job he's doing with Pittsburgh as far as the running game. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So if everybody wants to talk quarterback, you can pick every position and talk about that room. And that's why people come to Alabama. That's why coaches come to coach at Alabama. They may leave. But that's why that Saban tree is so big and broad these days, is because coaches go there and then get opportunities elsewhere after leaving Tuscaloosa.
I really feel this way. From a recruiting standpoint, if you are a top recruit in this country, if Nick Saban called you up and said, I want you to play Tuscaloosa, you have to go. There's no debate. You have to go play for him. That's how I feel on this. Like, I don't care. All right, we got a USC, Texas. If Nick Saban in the last 10 years, if he said, come play for me, you go play for Nick Saban. That's the legacy of him.
It is. That is true, except now with name, image, and likeness, that landscape has changed. As I brought up Brock Purdy, the starting quarterback for San Francisco, the number one seed in the NFC, making less than $900,000 a year, and you got the backup quarterback for Texas, Arch Manning. He made over $3 million this year, four times the amount of an individual who was in the running for the MVP award in the NFL this year.
It's a great point. My dad brings this up all the time. He goes, Mark, I'd go play in Boca Raton. There's more money there. I'll play for FAU over Alabama. He's not wrong moving forward with the money you might be able to make.
You have to balance it because you're also looking at money now, you know, the money in hand now and all that and the whole thing with the Bush and all that old analogy. However, if you're also looking down the road, believing in your own talents and abilities, you're also thinking you want that opportunity to play at the next level. And that's where Alabama's legacy of all these players marching on, that's why it's also helped. Because Bama can pay players, obviously, with name, image, and likeness. They're one of probably the top five programs in the country with money to spare as far as the program is concerned and people willing to back that program. But at the same time, you know, what Alabama has been able to do under Nick Saban, being able to produce that kind of talent at the NFL, that is also a huge selling point.
All right, when I think of Nick Saban, I'm going to rattle off some games, and then you tell me some of the games you think about.
Okay.
All right, when they knock out Colt McCoy and Texas in that first quarter and win the first championship, I always remember that game. The kick six where they lose to Auburn is one of the most famous games in the history of college football. Even though they didn't win, that's one of the most famous games. I think him beating Kirby Smart back in December will go down as one of his great jobs of all time. You could just go on and on. How about you, Johnny?
I'm going to start with a loss. And because if you ask Nick Saban, he wouldn't start with a win. He wouldn't start with a national championship team. Mm-hmm. He would start with a loss. And I'm going to circle having the lead early in the fourth quarter, the 2008 SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And Tim Tebow leads Florida back. Florida beats Alabama after Alabama had the lead in the fourth quarter. Florida goes on to win the national title. I thought the biggest motivation for Alabama, the players that returned from that 08 team, was when they faced Florida again in 2009 for the SEC championship. What Florida did not have, Alabama had that burning desire, that thought process of what it felt like to walk off that field in the prior season. And I thought that motivation was a thing. And then I'll fast forward to 2010. The fact that they led a team that went on to win the national championship in Auburn, had them down 24-0 in the first half, end up losing the game to Cam Newton 28-27. That entire offseason, all Bama players saw was 28-27. What did Alabama do as far as in response to that? They win the national title in 2011. They win the national championship in 2012. They were kicked six away from being in that position to win yet another one in 2013.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you another one. When they beat Notre Dame in that championship game with Manti Te'o, everyone saw that. Everyone.
Well, I think, you know, Manti's girlfriend in the stands was crying, obviously. She was upset that... For those that don't remember, you know, he had the imaginary girlfriend. You know, I go back to even how, and here's the thing about it, and this is how crazy college football is. You know, if Oklahoma State doesn't lose in 2011, Alabama does not get a chance to play for the national title against LSU because they'd already lost to LSU. We look at, you know, at 2012. If Aaron Murray completes that pass, Georgia scores a touchdown, it's not Alabama blowing out Notre Dame for the national title. It's Georgia blowing out Notre Dame for the national championship. Throughout, and that's why it's so important about finishing plays. And I guarantee you there's a part of Nick Saban that, because I know this, and if I'm aware of this, I guarantee you he's aware of this, of this fact. The last six losses for Alabama, guess what the main thing besides losing the game did they have in common? Losing the two games this year, the two games last year, the two games in 2021. The thing that they, all six of those losses had in common, Alabama had the lead in the fourth quarter and lost the games in all six of those games.
Is the one where Tua relieves Jalen Hurts and they beat Georgia in overtime, is that up there?
That has to be, only because how gutsy is that? Yes, Tua played and was backing up throughout the year, but to make that move at halftime of a game for the national title, with the national title being on the line, and it's kind of ironic because if you look at that, so in 2017, Nick Saban was not hesitant to make a move like that. Yet in 2023, Alabama, one of the best blockers in all of college football, their center, all of a sudden, just like sometimes we see in Major League Baseball where the second baseman all of a sudden can't throw a simple throw from second base to the first baseman, Alabama center could not snap the ball. And so it wasn't just once or twice. It was throughout the entire year. And the fact that he, because of his miscues in the fourth, I mean, not only in the fourth quarter, but throughout that game against Michigan, it kept throwing Alabama's timing off in that semifinal game. That is a move that I'm shocked that wasn't made. So in 2017, he wasn't hesitant to make a move, benching Jalen for Tua. But this year, I don't know if out of loyalty, I don't know what the rationale was, but here's a guy that for the last 2 years had no issues with snapping the ball. This year he did, and in a game that mattered, he wouldn't make that move.
Who could fill his shoes then as the next coach?
You know, because of the fact that I've seen the Bobby Bowdens, the Eddie Robinsons, you know, I was a guest on the Eddie Robinson show. I was friends with Bobby Bowden. I met Bear Bryant, but when I called him up on the phone and arranged for him to meet me for a 15-minute chat when I was 14, because of those things, there will be another guy. Now, because of the 12-team playoff, will there be another guy that wins seven national championships? I don't think it will happen, mainly because of the new parameters of college football. Just like if John Wooden, head coach of UCLA, not to take anything away from his success and all his national titles, but if he had had the extra layers, the extra opportunities for his team to be upset, you know, going from, I think at one point they had 24 teams playing for a national title. If you go from that to 68, we probably wouldn't be talking about as many titles as we are. And this is why we go back to that conversation. Is Nick Saban the greatest coach of all time? I will still be hesitant to even say he's the greatest coach in Alabama history, because it's different parameters. And I think it's unfair to those individuals that weren't playing by the same rules, just like it's not going to be fair whoever is the next head coach at Alabama or any of these coaches because of the extra level that we're going to get with a 12-team playoff, knowing that they're also, most of these teams are coming off the extra game playing in conference championship games as well. I think it's unfair to say, will there ever be anybody to fill his shoes? Will there be somebody who's successful? Alabama certainly has the money, the facilities, the loyalty of a fan base. They have all those things in place. But then again, it's not a hardship to remind folks that after Alabama won a national title in 1979 under Bear Bryant, other than 1992 with Gene Stallings, they had no national championships. Oh. They had just the one from 1980 to 2009.
What's fascinating about this conversation is I never lived in Alabama. I never covered Alabama. I've always been an outsider, but I could rattle off all those things, all those great players and the coaching staff and all those great games. That's how famous Nick Saban is, and that's what I take out of this conversation today.
And there's parts of me, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the names that we throw out there as far as greatest coaches. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind folks, as I always told coaches that I was around, the university was there a long time before you arrived and will be there a long time after you leave. And so I think first and foremost, especially too with student athletes trying to decide where they're going to play their college ball, I think and I hope that they remember that key fact that it's still the university. I know you want to play for a certain coach and the impact that you can have playing for a certain coach, but I hope everybody still appreciates. That's why it still upsets me to this day. If a school's willing to offer you a scholarship and on signing day you see somebody making a jerk of himself where he tosses three or four hats aside like they mean nothing, like they've got dog poop on them and picking the one that he wants, I think that is a disgrace of an individual and he needs to check himself.
Hey, I say this all the time. I've said this in speeches in front of people at different events. You put on a jersey, what does it say? It says the school you represent, and it shows the conference you represent, and then your name's on the back. The first thing people see is the school and the conference, and don't forget that. And I always think about that. Moving forward.
And I like those schools now who are actually putting their logo, they have like their school logo above the name on the back. As a reminder, you're still playing for the school.
My other thing is, now you're going to get me ranting again. Once you play college football, I don't care what your high school ranking was anymore. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, oh.
Well, you're like me. This week when I was preparing for and breaking down the NFL playoffs, I'm seeing some of these names. It's like, I don't remember them playing college ball. I literally had to look up some of these names. Individuals with 1,400 yards in the NFL this year, I'm having to look up to remind myself where they played their college ball.
Johnny Ballpark Franks, my man, thank you so much for your help. Appreciate coming on again, and have a great weekend, all right?
Hey, I appreciate you, buddy. Anytime.